Ray did some quick math. If the judge gambled 3 times a week for 5 years and won $2,000 every time, his winnings would have been somewhere around $1.5 million. Could he have rat-holed $90,000? Ray asked. It sounded like such a small amount. Anything is possible, but why hide it?
You tell me.
They pondered this for a while. Harry Rex finished the beer and lit a cigar. A sluggish ceiling fan above the desk pushed the smoke around. He shot a cloud of exhaust toward the fan and said,
"You gotta pay taxes on your winnings, and since he didn't want anybody to know about his gambling, maybe he just kept it all quiet."
"But don't the casinos require paperwork if you win a certain amount?"
"I never saw any damn paperwork."
"But if you'd won?"
"Yeah, they do. I had a client who won $11,000 at the $5 slots. They gave him a form 1099, a notice to the IRS.
"What about shooting craps?"
"If you cash in more than $10,000 in chips at one time, then there's paperwork. Keep it under 10 and there's nothing. Same as cash transactions at a bank."
I doubt if the judge wanted records.
I'm sure he did not.
"He never mentioned any cash when y'all were doing his wills?"
"Never. The money is a secret, Ray. I can't explain it. I have no idea what he was thinking. Surely he knew it would be found."
"Right. The question now is, what do we do with it?" Harry Rex nodded and stuck the cigar in his mouth. Ray leaned back and watched the fan. For a long time, they contemplated what to do with the money. Neither wanted to suggest that they simply continue to hide it. Harry Rex decided to fetch another beer. Ray said he'd take one, too. As the minutes passed, it became obvious that the money would not be discussed again. Not that day. In a few weeks, when the estate was opened and an inventory of assets was filled, they could visit the issue again. Or perhaps they would not. For 2 days, Ray had debated whether or not to tell Harry Rex about the cash. Not the entire fortune, but just a sample of it. After doing so, there were more questions than answers. Little light had been shed on the money. The judge enjoyed the dice and was good at gambling, but it seemed unlikely he could have cleared $3.1 million in 7 years. And to do so without creating paperwork and leaving a trail seemed impossible. Ray returned to the tax records while Harry Rex plowed through the ledgers of donations. "Which CPA are you going to use?" Ray asked after a long period of silence.
"There are several."
"Not local?"
"No. I stay away from the guys around here. It's a small town."
"Looks to me like the records are in good shape," Ray said, closing a drawer.
"It'll be easy, except for the house."
"Let's put it on the market. The sooner the better. It won't be a quick sell."
"What's the asking price?"
"Let's start at $300.
"Are we spending money to fix it up?"
"There is no money, Harry Rex." Just before dark, Forrest announced that he was tired of Clanton, tired of death, tired of hanging around a depressing old house he had never particularly cared for, tired of Harry Rex and Ray, and that he was going home to Memphis where wild women and parties were waiting.
"When are you coming back?" he asked Ray.
2 or 3 weeks.
"For probate?"
"Yes," Harry Rex answered. "We'll make a brief appearance before the judge. You're welcome to be there, but it's not required."
"I don't do court. Been there enough."
The brothers walked down the drive to Forrest's car.
"You okay?" Ray asked, but only because he felt compelled to show concern.
"I'm fine. See you, bro,"
Forrest said in a hurry to leave before his brother blurted something stupid.
"Call me when you come back," he said.
He started the car and drove away. Ray knew he would pull over somewhere between Clanton and Memphis, either at a joint with a bar and a pool table, or maybe just a beer store where he would buy a case and slug it as he drove. Forrest had survived his father's funeral in an impressive way, but the pressure had been building. The meltdown would not be pretty. Harry Rex was hungry as usual and asked if Ray wanted fried catfish.
"Not really," he answered.
"Good. There's a new place on the lake."
"What's it called?"
"Gita's Catfish Shack."
"You're kidding."
"No, it's delicious."
They dined on an empty deck jutting over a swamp on the backwaters of the lake. Harry Rex ate catfish twice a week, Ray once every 5 years. The cook was heavy on the batter and peanut oil, and Ray knew it would be a long night for several reasons. He slept with a loaded gun in the bed of his old room upstairs with the windows and doors locked and the three garbage bags packed with money at his feet. With such an arrangement, it was difficult to look around in the dark and conjure up any pleasant childhood memories that would normally be just under the surface. The house had been dark and cold back then, especially after his mother died. Instead of reminiscing, he tried to sleep by counting little round black chips, $100 each, hauled by the judge from the tables to the cashiers. He counted with imagination and ambition, and he got nowhere near the fortune he was in bed with.